post Oscars, so I'm kind of not feeling that that sting every time I click on something that's not an Oscar movie. That I'm like, I should be watching that. So I clicked on a random. It was honestly a little bit clickbait, a clickbaity looking thumbnail on Amazon Prime. I saw Micah Monroe. I was like, okay, I like Micah Monroe. Let's see. It was this freebie series called the Alter Collection, which I was like, I don't know what this is. Let's see. I click on it. I see a bunch of like ad breaks in between. I'm like, it's freebie. Let's see. Turns out it's a collection of short films, short being like 2 minute films. Oh. In an episode of like a 4 season long thing that they've been doing on this channel called Alter, which is a subsidiary of a production studio called Gunpowder and Sky, which I was like, oh, who is this? I don't know. They made some movies that I don't know super well, but some that I've heard of. This one called Prospect with Pedro Pascal, this movie called Cam, which is a horror film from like 4 years ago, and this movie called Her Smell, starring Elizabeth Moss. Directed by Alex Ross Perry. So I'm like, they've made some movies. And this is just a really interesting little anthology piece featuring where they've actually funded a bunch of short films. And there's a ton. There's like 10 per episode. There's like 10, 12 episodes per season. And they also have one called Dust, which is just sci-fi movies. And I'm like, it's weird because I've seen some of these shorts in film school. Like there's some, I'm like, I recognize this film. And I just thought this was the coolest thing ever. I was like, this is something that is free on Amazon Prime right now. There's ads, but like, who cares? You know, it's something that you could, you should be able to find.
Are they between the shorts? Like,
they literally cut between the shorts. Yeah. So I was like, this is fantastic. Not something I think I'll, you know, check in on every day or anything, but if I'm just looking to watch something real quick on my lunch break, like, this is really cool. And the fact that this really tiny indie production company is giving opportunities to people that aren't looking to make a feature necessarily and have a two-page script that they want to shoot is really cool, because the production value in all of these is really high too. So it seems like they are actually shelling out some money, you know, for these. You know, I think this is really cool. This is a really interesting idea. And for a tiny little studio to be doing this is heartening, you know,
it's
still going. It's been going since like, I think 2020, and they're still doing it. So I was like, this is really cool. So if you have Amazon Prime, I would check out the Alter Collection. It's really, really interesting. And, you know, something that I think that I wish more studios did, because it's like, you can give somebody $10,000 and that is the budget for a film, you know, and that'll be like an accounting error for a major studio. It's not something that they would even notice. So it's like, just do that. The amount of unbelievable filmmakers out there is astounding. So Alter, pretty cool stuff. Check it out.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, I'm gonna have to look into it. What was the name of the sci-fi one you said?
It was called Dust. And they have two different Dust. Those are different like studios technically. It's Dust. And I think they have a Dust collection, but I haven't looked into it at all. But
interesting.
So yeah, weird stuff, but cool.
Cool. I will say, I being not as ahead of things as you, did spend the last week here catching up on all the things I hadn't seen. And not even like the small obscure ones, like the three major ones I've watched this week. And I'll start with The Zone of Interest.
Yeah.
Which is a whole lot.
Yeah.
A whole lot. It's weird because I will say the importance of this film cannot be understated.
Yeah.
The filmmaking like prowess exhibited in this film cannot be understated. But it's odd in that, like, I feel like in 6 months, I won't remember any of the plot of this movie.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it's slice of life, but it's also kind of mundane slice of life, which I think is the point.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's just going to be one of those things that the feeling that comes away from this is going to be what I carry on, and like, I will no doubt sometime in the future get pulled into a conversation about The Zone of Interest and I'll be like, yeah, that movie was really crazy. And my brain will be racing to go like, all right, what was going
plot
on?
Point, plot point.
It was like plot point, you know.
But it almost doesn't matter.
But it doesn't matter. Like, and that's kind of the beauty of it. It's like, it's not about the plot. It's like, it's, you know, 100 minutes of mood, basically.
Yeah, and what they're not addressing.
Which is an oversimplification. Yeah. And like just, it's all about what's not there. And, you know, I think like recognizable plot points are also something that's not there. And that's a weird comparison, but like recognizable plot points are something I think are specifically omitted, I guess.
Yeah.
Because like that, like if I got to the point where I was like, okay, yeah, here we go into the second act, you know, that's going to take away from the vibe.
Yeah.
And the feel of this whole thing. And that's the, like the last thing you want is for someone to actually be able to settle into the story of this movie.
Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. I, you know, there's nothing really much more to say about that. And just
yeah.
like, you know, heavy movie.
Very heavy. And it's another one where the filmmaking is so strange. It's so mm-hmm. odd. And it's everything is set up to almost make the viewer feel uneasy while you're watching people literally go about their days. Like when she's trying on, it's very disturbing, but she's trying on like that mink coat and everything in the mirror. And mm-hmm. it's like everything has this undertone. Partly it's because the whole film is slightly desaturated. You always have this weird soundscape in the background, but it's just I mean, somebody said this, it's the banality of evil. It's banal things that seem yeah. mundane, but turns out it's because they're turning the other way with the backdrop being something so horrendous. It's like a one of a kind movie. I've never seen anything like it.
It really is. Yeah. And it's weird because I feel like I don't even have the proper like vocabulary to describe like what that movie is,
yeah.
you know, which is something. Cause I think I have a pretty good film vocabulary. You know what I mean? And I'm just yeah. here like trying to grasp what hit me so hard about that movie.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that was the first, I don't want to jump ahead on your list at all, but was that the first Sandra Hüller film that you yes. have seen? Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. She's fucking great. She's so good.
Crazy.
Yeah. Do you want to jump in to your next one?
I mean, sure. If okay. you want, I also watched Anatomy of a Fall.
Yeah.
Which is an incredible movie.
Yeah.
You know, this movie took me a little bit to get into.
Mm-hmm.
This was my 7 a.m. movie. This was the last Jesus. Movie I watched before the Oscars. And it took me a little bit to settle in and get pulled into the story. Cause I was kind of like, all right, it's like early, here's this French-ish thing.
Pretty
it's
slow. Like, yeah.
You know, like I had to fight the urge to look at my phone a couple times, and then it gets you.
Yeah.
And then it really gets you, and then it pulls you deeper and deeper in. And like, I think once we got to the courtroom stuff.
Yeah.
I was locked in because that's really what shines here is the drama and the shifting power structures yeah. in that courtroom are incredible to the point that I like was getting annoyed when they cut away for like the rest of the movie. You know?
I know.
There's like that one scene where she's like having a drink with her lawyer and I'm like, I don't care. Go back to the,
yeah,
go
get back to the courtroom.
but yeah, I mean, Sandra Hüller is absolutely incredible in this. The scene of, this isn't really a spoiler, but the scene of the recording.
Oh my God.
Is one of the most incredible scenes I've watched in a very long time.
Unreal.
I can't imagine, you know, like writing or directing or acting or like being able to be any kind of part of yeah. that scene on an appropriate level to match everything else going on. It's absolutely yeah. incredible on firing on all cylinders.
Yes.
And it's like the kind of thing that will be studied in like acting classes and directing classes and like, just like break out how this is going to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
really well directed too. Like
so good.
Like that's I kept having these things of like the ability to switch between languages so flawlessly and have it be motivated and have it be, you know, have it be something that feels like it's part of the script instead of, or feels like it's part of the story instead of
like a gimmick
or a Yeah, we'll say gimmick.
A flourish.
Because I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. But yeah, like it's just there's so many little things in this that I'm like are so well done. Yeah. I love this movie.
Yeah.
I think both of these movies, Anatomy of a Fall and Zone of Interest, are 4-star movies.
Yeah.
But for entirely different reasons.
Yeah.
You know, crazy.
Crazy. The question is, did she do it?
That's the question. And I mean, the real question is, does it matter?
Does it matter? You know? Yeah.
Which, I don't know. It's, well, and it's crazy because you go back and forth.
I know. To this day.
Like, you go back and forth. Like, throughout the thing, you're like, oh, no, she totally did. I remember from the very beginning being like, I don't like this character. This character sucks.
Right.
Like, yeah. I appreciated when it won adapted screenplay. They played the song.
Yes.
Which, having P-I-M-P. Been the only one I was, yeah, being the only one who had seen it that I was with.
Yeah.
There was confusion expressed as to why they would choose that song as their walk-up song. And I was like, it's a thing.
It's a thing. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh God. Yeah. I really love that movie.
So what will Sandra Hüller do next becomes the question.
For real.
The world is her oyster right now.
Well, she was someone who went from, I'd never heard of this lady, to being anything she does coming up, I will be there for. I need to see what she does next, because she's a next level talent. Which,
yeah, and it's weird because she's been around for a long time. You know, she's got like 2006 credits here.
Yeah,
it's been a while.
Yeah,
I mean, a lot of, you know, not a lot of
bigger
or English or American speaking
things. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, American things, but yeah, she's got, it looks like, 2 coming credits.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
nuts.
It'll be interesting to see where she comes next.
Yeah, her two movies were two of the most interesting because they're so wildly different tonally. Like, Anatomy of a Fall, in some aspects, is like almost satire. Like, there are moments where you're like, is this a serious film? You know, and it is because of the way that it's told. And then Zone of Interest is like deathly serious the whole time. But it's just like, it showed it's range. She's fucking amazing. I can't wait to see what she does next. I will go back to, you know what I'm gonna do? Yeah. So I watched a film that was actually a broadcast that was done on Halloween in 1992 by the BBC, which was aired just as a broadcast, which was an investigative report, like a whole special on this paranormal, like, incident that happened at someone's residence in England. And it was played like Orson Welles's War of the Worlds, where nobody said that this was fake. And this is called Ghost Watch, and it stars Michael Parkinson, who I don't know, I'm not British, so I'm not really sure, but he is apparently a legendary talk show host, so everybody knows him. They had Craig Charles, who I'm a huge fan of because he was on Red Dwarf, just as like the on the ground like personality guy. Is like, he's on the ground, like, sure. It's Craig Charles, like all of these things that made it seem so legit. And it was just this kind of ridiculous but very realistic ghost hunting episode where they had this, it's weird because it's almost like verbatim what happens in The Conjuring 2, but it's like this family out in, like, you know, some in the suburbs of England who are experiencing paranormal activity, essentially, and they go in and shit just goes crazy. It's like Paranormal Activity, essentially. But they play it deathly serious, to the point where they have a paranormal investigator on the show. They also have someone there who is there to only basically debunk things. So, like, it's the back and forth between the two. This is awesome. Watch Ghost Watch even if you're not a fan of horror. It is so, I wish they did more publicity stunts, I guess you'd call this. I wish this happened more. Granted, like, it's not, you know, the smartest or safest thing to do, because people get freaking crazy about this stuff.
Yeah.
But this is really awesome. And there's some moments in this that are truly, like, I don't want to say frightening, but get under your skin in a way that was pretty shocking from a, like, basically a broadcast production. It's funny, they have like a camera team and this person stay with the family overnight. They have, like, you know, the camera set up in different rooms, cutting to different feeds. They cut back to Michael as he's talking to her and the specialist and all this stuff. They have callers call in, like fake callers call into the show and like report different things happening. It's just really, really cool. This is on, I believe, Shudder right now. So if you have it, check out Ghostwatch. It's really good. I was tickled. Nice. It's great.
I feel like in modern times that would have to be like a much more elaborate like undertaking. You know, you'd have to have people doing fake social posts and all kinds of stuff.
It could be done. People would just have to take it seriously.
Well, I feel like it would also require people not believing it afterwards, which I don't know if like, I feel like we could get to the end of it and people would still be like, I think that was real.
We can't pull this back.
Just trying to cover it up now. Yeah.
It's a conspiracy now. That's very true. But we have these. So watch Ghostwatch, listen to War of the Worlds. Good stuff.
Nice. Excellent. So, I mean, my last one that I've got here is I finally watched Poor Things.
Yes. Yes.
And this movie is absolutely incredible. This, I think, of the ones I've seen, is the best Yorgos movie.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple I haven't grasped yet, but he's operating on another level here. I think he's found a muse in Emma Stone.
Definitely.
Her performance is absolutely incredible in this and like complete in a way that I don't think I've seen from her before. There's just like the depth of her character, the depth of Bella is like so thought out on every level. And this movie is just like incredible and weird and brilliant. And like, you know, it's interesting. And I talked about this a little bit on Thursday, but it's interesting comparing this with her performance with Lily Gladstone's because, hey, I can finally like make that actual comparison. And kind of like Zone of Interest and Anatomy of a Fall, like they're two performances that are incredible in very different ways. And, you know, listen to our episode on Thursday to hear more on that. But like, I am obsessed with this movie. I don't know how you begin to make something like this.
No idea.
It's crazy. I mean, everything from the set deck to the
score,
the makeup, the like, the style. There's something. I feel like we should have a conversation at some point about lensing in like the mid 20s.
Holy shit!
Because there is a lot of stuff going on where it's like this is a very and like I recognize this is a very specific lens choice. Here. And I'll cite Spaceman too. Spaceman had a lot of this of like, these are very specific lens choices. And I don't think that's just me picking up on that because I know lenses. I think that's a shift that we're seeing is like, yeah, people aren't just shooting on traditional, you know, like Cook primes.
Yeah. Master primes or whatever.
Yeah. We're going for specific looks and we're highlighting, styles with different lenses. And I think that's, really cool. And I think that's something we haven't really seen before.
Well, you know, push to this level.
Like, you know, there's always been like lenses and like a lot of cinematography is, you know, lens choice and things like that. But I feel like we don't get a lot of, I'm choosing this weird, obscure lens because of how the bokeh looks or how,
The fall off,
how wide it is, or like the chromatic abrasion around the side, like you know, it's there's new cool stuff going on, and I am here for it. So Poor Things, I am obsessed with this movie. This might be one of Jess's favorite movies now.
I can't wait to watch it again. It's it's amazing.
It's one of those that I will revisit. Like that's like I say a lot of these things, and I'm like I don't rewatch a lot of movies. But I'll come back around to this one.
This could be a buy it type of thing because, like, it's really different.
This could be a have it on, have the Blu-ray.
And it's speaking, it's so weird. Like, my dad watched it. He's like, loved it. My mom just watched it today. She called me and she was like, what an amazing film. And I'm like, their tastes couldn't be different. Like, everyone I know who's seen it is like, this is just, I've never seen anything like it. It's doing something to me. Like, the weirdness, like, because it's another movie where it's very, very intense in terms of what it's trying to do. Its style, the themes, they're very in your face because Bella's character is like a child.
Yeah.
But it's not alienating anyone, which is just, it takes a filmmaker like Yorgos Lanthimos to do that because his movies are alienating as fuck if you watch them. Like, his stuff is very acidic sometimes, and this is so palatable.
Well, and that's the thing, I think, why I kind of say this is one of his best movies, because I think he's dialed in his style.
Yeah.
In a way that's, I don't want to say palatable, because I don't want it to sound like it's him changing his way to make it better for people. But like, he's hit a place where it doesn't come off as confusing or weird or like whatnot. It's just artistic and like unique. You know, it's like it's all of the things that Yorgos is, but in a like format that's accessible.
Yes.
You know. And that's, I think, what's so incredible about it is it's just like for all audiences. Well,
yeah, well, adult audiences,
for all audiences. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Love it. I can't wait to watch Poor Things again. It's, I mean, again, every Best Picture contender this year was amazing. Like, even Maestro in its way was amazing in the swings it took. You know, so yeah, I can't wait to watch Poor
Things. And I do want to shout out Mark Ruffalo in this too, because he was absolutely incredible.
Duncan. Duncan.
Duncan.
Wedderburn.
Duncan Wedderburn, yeah.
So like, good.
He's a great actor and he's always been a great actor, but like, you felt his talent in this one.
Yes.
You know,
so big and so pathetic and so like, just, oh my God, I loved it so much. I want to end this off with, I mean, I'll keep the Oscar train rolling, because I went to the theater and I saw Wim Wenders' Perfect Days, which was Japan's entry for the Oscars this year, which was nominated. This movie's amazing. I mean, Wim Wenders, Paris, Texas, like, what can we say? The guy is a legend. There's nothing that we don't have to, you know, belabor the point here. But this is something a little bit different because it is a Japanese film. Like, it is 1000% in Japanese, about a Japanese man who plays essentially a janitor. He's like a toilet cleaner who goes around, because in Japan there's a ton of public restrooms because we don't have a lot of the issues that we have in the United States, for better and definitely for worse. Whose job it is just to go and sanitize toilets. And it's really a slice of life movie about this dude who is relatively content with the way his life is, the way it is. But then things start to crop up, and they're not major things, but they are little things that, you know, stick a stick through his, you know, spokes in his wheel a little bit. Like, you know, his niece showing up not unaccounted for, but just unannounced, where she has to stay with him. Nothing that throws him off, but things that make his life change its trajectory. And it is a perfect little, just like, it's just a film about almost nothing, but it's also a film about everybody. It's a film about just like wanting to live in the moment, but realizing that it's almost impossible to do so, not only because of your own baggage, but because of everyone else's baggage. And it is beautifully shot by somebody who's only done like 10 movies, and most of which I've never heard of. The actor, Koji Kakusho, is absolutely phenomenal. He says maybe like 20 words in the whole film. It's mostly just him expressing himself, and he is absolutely amazing. It's thoughtful. It's quiet. It really like was a film where at the end, like Past Lives, but in a different way, it made me take stock of the things that like I'm worrying about, and realizing that like this guy's existence like happens between the hours of like 6 a.m. and like 4 p.m. And all he does is clean the toilets, then go about his day. He goes to the same restaurants, does the same thing every day. And it's just the simplicity of life and then how small things can just like disrupt that whole thing. I don't know. This is like, I've thought about Perfect Day since I saw it on Friday. I kind of can't stop thinking about it and being like, wow, Vim, like you're really doing something new here. Yeah, I want more people to see it. I doubt very many people will see it, but it's a very beautiful rendering of what it feels like not overthinking things, which I think everyone strives to get to.
Yeah.
But we are unsuccessful in doing so. And seeing this guy just ride his bike, I'm like, wow. I want to live in Japan. Like, there's something about this whole thing is so peaceful. So, yeah, Perfect Days. Check it out if you get the chance.
Awesome.
Really good.
That's a buy or rent on Apple or Prime, right?
Yes, yes. It just so happened they were playing it at the Coolidge. So I was like, you know what? Might as well go check it out. So, good stuff. Nice.